You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Primetime Action live from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip, Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Glad you could join us tonight. No football tonight. Let's get used to these kind of nights. Sorry, guys. No football. We'll have to deal. But we will talk a bunch of football, including that debacle from last night between the Rams and the Cardinals, really on the Cardinals side. But I do think we have the right eight teams in the divisional round. We also have some puck drops here at the top of the hour as well.
We do. A slew of them, even, if you will.
And Andy McNeil later.
Yeah.
It's Andy hockey McNeil. Night in America.
Andy McNeil cheating on us a little bit earlier with Dan Burke, I saw.
Hey, well, what?
Yeah. McNeil cheating on us a little bit earlier.
Sure, we'll have a little
chat with him later. We'll have a chat with him about that.
Yeah.
Just giving his picks all over the place around here.
Interesting.
We have a few puck drops coming here right this second. One, two, three, four of them happening right now. So head to your book of choice if you want to bet the Hurricanes and the Bruins. The Bruins are -130 home favorites over the Hurricanes, +110. On the road underdog there. Sabres and Senators. Senators are -220 home favorites there, +185 on the Sabres as road underdogs. Jets and Capitals. Capitals are -125 home favorites. You get +105 on the Jets as road underdogs. And the Islanders and Flyers, -135 on the road Islanders there, +115 on the home Flyers. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. We got the Canucks and the Predators. Predators -130 home favorites, +110 on the visiting Canucks. 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. The Canadiens and the Stars. The Stars are -380 favorites over the Canadiens, +290 if you want to take the underdog there. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. The Panthers and the Flames. The Panthers are -150 road favorites, +130 on the home Flames there. And finally, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific, we have the Lightning and the Kings. The Lightning are -210 road favorites, +170 on the home Kings. Only two NBA games tonight.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves and the Knicks is 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Right now, the Timberwolves are 3-point road favorites over the Knicks. We got 215.5 all the way to 216.5, your total there, so be sure and shop around. And a 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific Pistons and Warriors game going down where the Warriors are -15.5.
Yeah, small number in that game. As far as injuries go in these early games for New York, Kemba Walker is going to get the start tonight. He was listed as questionable earlier today, so keep that in mind if you're going to bet the Knicks or Timberwolves side. No Nerlens Noel for the Knicks tonight. No Cam Reddish. He's still working his way into that lineup for New York. And for the late game, let's see. We have Steph Curry. He is probable tonight, likely to go. Andre Iguodala listed as questionable right now. They will be without Draymond still. And Gary Payton Jr. will be good to go tonight.
Can I throw my tennis picks in real quick? Because these are about to start.
Yeah, do it.
About to start in Melbourne, in Australia. Two dogs. All I got is two. We went 2-1 yesterday on the three picks. Picked up a unit. Oscar Otte, I had it +212. I made this last night versus Lorenzo. I say it's Sonego, but I've heard it pronounced Sonego, which is strange to me. But Otte is about +185-ish now. That one I would actually still play. The second one I'm not sure I would. Sarah Cerebes Tormo's at +165 over Marta Kostyuk. Last I saw was +126. I wouldn't play that any lower than +135, +140. So if you want to play the Otte one, I think it's still playable. I'm not really sure about the Cerebes Tormo.
Yeah, both had dropped a lot when I went to check them out.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, though. Oscar Otte, I think you should still be able to find high +180s, low +190s, I saw earlier.
That's still playable, because up there, that's not as stark of a difference. But Cerebes Tormo is really
I might tail you on that one, Gil.
Oh,
Andy
well.
Murray did not want to make it easy last night.
No, he sure didn't. But you know what? But that's the bet with Andy Murray. It's like we talk about with tennis all the time. Think about the best player at your high school. And then think about the number one player at like a D1 school in tennis. And then think about how those players, most of them, can't even make the tour. And then think about how like the top 100 players on tour are better than everyone. The top 50, the top 20. And think about the guys at the very top. Andy Murray was one of the big four. Before there was a big three, there was a big four. And he just, even in his like twilight, it's amazing how he figures it out in the end.
It was it was death by a million slices. He like just sliced him to death. It was great to watch though. I mean that first set, it was Andy Murray going, oh, okay, you just want to sit there and hit it as hard as you possibly can. It was like watching a 4-0 tennis player play in that first set, because it was like it was Andy Murray going, I'll just allow you to make the mistakes, and he just kept just, and it was just hitting it 3 feet out every single time.
But Basilashvili knows one speed. Yeah. To hit it as hard as humanly possible. Like when he was down match points, smacking it as hard as he can, hitting on line, so he got away with a few. But we got it done there. But yeah, picking up a unit, just missed the sweep late last night, into the night. And by the way, no thank you that these are on ESPN Plus. I want it on real TV. All right, a couple NFL notes here. Kelly, can we have the Rocky music playing behind this note? Just, we need the Rocky music behind this one for the drama. Thank you. Derrick Henry. Keep going. Derrick Henry took a big step in his injury recovery Tuesday as he returned to practice in pads.
That actually worked out really well.
I can't believe you. You knew that.
That was pretty good, right?
I mean, listen, you didn't know the jingle for AutoZone, so I can't believe that you were able to catch that.
AutoZone. Derrick Henry in pads at practice. That's huge. Now, can you do the Benny Hill or the Mr. Bean music? Because this is the other bit of NFL news. The Athletic's Mark Caboli, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, believes that all signs point to Mason Rudolph as the Steelers' starting quarterback in 2022. Yeah. So there's that.
One of those we knew.
Yes.
We knew Derrick Henry was coming back.
We did.
One of those we were like, really?
Wow.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, and that's actually followed by a report from the Athletic's Chad Graff. And so this is like conflicting reports from the Athletic. Chad Graff says that the Broncos, Panthers, and Steelers are the most likely trade partners for Kirk Cousins. Now, the Steelers have been historically an incredibly conservative organization, and I cannot see them taking on a $35 million contract.
Did we know that the Vikings were going to trade Kirk Cousins?
I know, but I think what the assumption here is with the firing of everyone, and that it's like just, yes, it's a let's just rebuild here. Kirk Cousins is making an ungodly amount of money. And let's just start over, you know?
Can we just tip of the cap to Kirk Cousins, who has been making an ungodly amount of money now for 6 years every year.
And he's going to make $35 million next year. Yeah. This could be one of those kind of Alex Smith situations where it's almost like you can have him if you'll just take the money. You don't have to give us really anything. Give us a seventh rounder or something, and then you can have him if you'll just take the contract.
Here's his 4-year arc with the Minnesota Vikings. Missed the playoffs in 2018. Remember, that was after the Case Keenum Minneapolis miracle year. Then they lost in the division round 2019, missed playoffs. So they missed the playoffs 3 or 4 times, which as a Washington football fan, I said when he went to the Vikings, and remember, Washington decided we're not going to pay him a long-term deal. Kirk Cousins, we're just going to give you a 1-year deal of an ungodly amount of money for two consecutive seasons. But then that was it. They couldn't do it anymore. And he went to Minnesota on a 3-year, $84 million deal, I believe it was initially. The whole thing was, and it gets down to like baseball when you assess baseball teams every year. Great, I get that you think Kirk Cousins is an improvement over Case Keenum. But the fact is that Case Keenum in 2017 was spectacular. And so when you got Kirk Cousins, that was a hard act to follow, actually.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, not sure he did.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about his salary, so it's about 16% of the salary cap for like a 2022 squad, right? So, I mean, like if a team were to absorb Kirk Cousins, they'd be like taking on 16% of their salary cap for the, you know, for, and again, it's a 53-man roster plus all. So like it's a pretty big deal with all that. And you know, look, we mentioned this a couple times. He actually wasn't all that bad this year.
He was really good,
actually. He was a definitely a victim of Mike Zimmer just playing so close to the vest and never getting anything. Never taking advantage of any of these leads that they had and really pulling the reins back and all that. But, I mean, you know, if you look at these three teams that they mentioned, I don't see how the Panthers afford him because they gave a bunch of money to Darnold.
Right.
Again, the Steelers, like I said, and historically have not been that type of organization. Now, they may look around and say, we've got a lot of talent. it's only 1 year. Yeah, it's a ridiculous amount of money, but like, you know, do you think it's good enough for us to go get it this year? But I mean, the Broncos, I mean, obviously Locke wasn't the answer. They didn't want to go with him anyway. I think they figured out that Teddy B wasn't the answer this year either. They've got a couple of young, you know, they've got a bunch of young talent around there on the offensive side of the ball. Could that actually be a destination? I don't know.
I will tell you that the Steelers one would be pretty awesome. Like, if they added him for as a bridge to whomever.
I was going to say, because if I understand that it's not what they've typically done, right. But knowing you're only on the hook for a year, right? Like, you're only on the hook for that one huge year.
Yeah.
Like, I think that makes at least absorbing something like that a little bit easier.
I mean, they eked into a 7 seed this year, which was pretty miraculous. Kirk Cousins probably makes them a much more solid wild card team, if not a division winner.
Well, you take a look here, and they invest a first-round pick in what we all think is still an awesome running back, but he can't be – if there's no threat to throw the ball down the field, they were just stacking the ball. I mean, like, the guy had nowhere to run the whole season, right? I mean, like, maybe you're even would unleash – a whole new aspect of like this offense or whatever, if you are able to throw the ball down the field. So it's at least interesting to see. But I think the assumption here is that the Vikings are kind of like, okay, look, let's just break this whole thing down and come back. And
should they though? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a pretty good team. We could talk about like hypothetical quarterback situations for like 3 hours. Russell Wilson next segment. No, we're not going to do that. NFL futures, we'll look at those. We will look at Australian Open odds. Andy McNeil joins us to talk some hockey, and Teaser Tuesday still lives. Divisional round, it's VSiN's primetime action.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you missed any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule today, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcast. Catch replays of all our shows or download and listen on your schedule. Go to VSiN.com/podcast and get Beating the Book with me, Gil Alexander, or Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. Plus, we got Hardwood Handicappers, the Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert, Coast to Coast Hoops, the Wide World of Wine Garden, and many more. They're all free and available now at VSiN.com/podcast or wherever you get your podcast. Gil, Matt, and Kelly, do you want to tell that knife story on the air?
Yeah, so how do you get the knife home?
You know what I do want to bring up? Because this happened after we got off air.
He doesn't want to tell a story.
Did you guys see the Westbrook dunk?
Oh, yeah, I watched that game. I bet on the Jazz live when they were down 10, so that really didn't work out well.
I mean.
Yes, that dunk was nasty.
Oh, my God.
Over Gobert. From like
that just lost you, by the way. That just lost you. That lost you your bet on Gobert. I mean, it was like he just took off. We just forget, like, Russell, I mean, we make fun of him because of the way he plays the majority of the time, but like what a freak athlete
he is.
He's
arguably the greatest athlete to ever play that sport.
Sprung, you were just like, how is this even happening? And he just went over, just destroyed.
The frustrating part about that is like, at this point in his career, you're like, oh, you can still do that, Russ? Where is this every night?
Just do it five times a game. You're going to get fouled three of the times. So like, just do it.
He has largely been free of injury throughout his career. Largely.
Might be something there is what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing that someone who plays with that kind of abandon, right? I believe it's called reckless abandon.
They had that game was brutal to watch. I jumped in on the Jazz live at the end of the second quarter. They were down like 10. I was catching 3.5. And then they go up 10 by the end of the third quarter. Perfect. What we always talk about with live betting on the show in NBA, and it's like perfect NBA percentages. First half, Jazz are shooting like 30% from the field, like 20% from three. Lakers are shooting over 50%. I'm like, auto live bet, let's go. Like, I'm down. And then fourth quarter, you got Stanley Johnson. The Lakers go small ball with Rudy Gobert on the court. Stanley Johnson straight up mans up on Gobert, like three possessions in a row, takes him down into the low post, just like shoves him out of the way and puts a layup in.
The whole fourth quarter, they played without a center on the court.
Yeah, they didn't play without a center. They played without a center the whole fourth quarter.
Yeah, the whole fourth quarter, they played
and without a center. And Gobert got worked somehow.
Without a center, and somehow that was like the key. Like
Stanley Johnson scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. I was like, what am I watching right now?
Yeah.
Lakers 101, Jazz 95. Lakers cover outright. Plus 180. 5.5 point dogs. Total way under.
We had a Devin Booker game last night as well.
Yeah.
48-point Devin Booker game. Not that the Blazers are in contention for anything or whatever, but we had a Nurkic game last night. Did you see that one?
Oh, I actually didn't.
A 21.22 rebound game.
That doesn't surprise me. With all those guys out, he's like the only thing there. Like, yeah. It's
21-22 game for him.
Who's the coach of the year right now?
Oof.
We were looking at these. We were looking at this market earlier today, and
I mean, probably Billy Donovan still.
What's my man on the Grizzlies? Who's the coach of the Grizzlies? He was 7-1.
Oh yeah.
So he's 7-1. Name escaped. By the way, Jason Kidd of the Mavericks.
Terry Jenkins.
Yeah, Terry Jenkins. Jason Kidd of the Mavericks, who have won 9 of 10, 35-1. Could you imagine if Jason Kidd made a run at Coach of the Year?
What's
as much
Bickerstaff?
As people hate him, Bickerstaff was the second short shot.
I was going to say
he's at 4-1.
The Cavs are like weirdly in fourth.
4-1. Bickerstaff was 4-1. JB Bickerstaff. Bernie's kid for those of us of a certain age.
Actually, I don't even know how those guys. How is it not? I don't know how it's not Billy Donovan, J.B. Bickerstaff, Taylor Jenkins as your three short shots.
Yeah, I thought Jenkins was way far down.
Like he's 7-1 right now. You got Monty Williams 3-1, Billy Donovan 4-1, Bickerstaff 4-1, Steve Kerr 5-1, Jenkins 7-1, Spoelstra 12-1.
There it is. Monty Williams, who was snubbed, some would say, along with Quinn Snyder last year, at the expense of Tom Thibodeau getting it. I will say this, too. We threw this around a little bit. I'm curious what your basketball minds tell you. So we're talking about the Grizzlies and how if you watch their games, they're unbelievable, right? They have so many athletes. They come at you in waves, which is unlike what you see from most NBA teams during an 82-game schedule, right? Most teams are load managing, taking plays off. You know how it is in the NBA. I'm not telling secrets here.
Yeah.
But not the Grizzlies. I mean, they are just unbelievable energy. And I guess for the regular season, that's awesome. When rotations change in the postseason, though, you know, it's sort of a cautionary thing. Anybody who's thinking to themselves, maybe I should get a Grizzlies Western Conference ticket or something like that. It's just sort of like, hold on.
I mean,
the brakes.
You guys have seen me jump on longer odds teams the past couple years because I think they at least had the pieces that, like what you're talking about, Gil, when the playoffs come, can they still be competitive? I love watching this Grizzlies team like you're talking about. I mean, John Morant's fantastic. Jaren Jackson Jr. is one of my favorite young players in the league. I don't believe they're going to be able to really fully compete when the playoffs do come around. I mean, Desmond Bane has been one of the hottest three-point shooters in the league. I mean, they're getting production from everywhere, but I don't know. It's just not a team I fully believe in once the playoffs arrive.
Fantastic beard shirt today as well, Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
thanks,
that's
man.
That's the only reason why we had the conversation, so we could throw Kelly on for the beard shirt.
Fantastic.
Where does the shirt start, or where does the beard end and the shirt start?
No one knows.
Here's some NFL futures. I know there's only 8 teams left. It's about the last week you can bet these markets. NFC, AFC, and Super Bowl. We were looking at stage of elimination earlier, too. There's all kinds of ways you can bet this now, and you should always do the math on these. But just straight AFC market, who's going to win the AFC? The Chiefs and the Bills, who play each other, are the short shots. Chiefs at plus 175, Bills at plus 225. Then it's the Titans at plus 310, the Bengals at plus 550. But as I was saying with the stage of elimination, and places like DraftKings have that, we don't necessarily here in Las Vegas, as far as I know. But DraftKings, so if you thought the Titans would beat the Bengals and then lose in the championship game, which a lot of people think will happen, that is like plus 145. And so you would have to stick into a parlay category. The Titans money line this week, followed by whatever you think the spread and the money line specifically will be next week on their opponent, who I would imagine would be a slight favorite or a less than slight favorite against Titans. Titans probably dogs against either team next week.
Yeah, at I home. Think so for sure.
So you're probably looking at a Titans money line this week and a minus money line next week. You put that in a parlay calculator. If it's a better return than the plus 145, then you play that way. If it's not, then you play the stage of elimination market at plus 145. Here's the NFC market. Green Bay, no surprise, plus 155. Buccaneers, plus 230. Rams, plus 350. Niners, 5-1. No surprises there. And then for the whole kit and caboodle, Super Bowl, it's going to be the Packers or the Chiefs? Packers, by a nose, plus 350. Chiefs, plus 380. With the Bills coming in third. How about the number one seed Titans sixth on that, plus 850 still?
Yeah.
Anything?
I think it's just interesting because I think that they're still sitting way down there because it's like they definitely would have to go through one of the Bills or Chiefs because one of the Bills or Chiefs is moving on, you know?
And so, they'd also have to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Which is also problematic.
Yeah. The Bucks, I think, are still too short. We'll talk about our bets later. I mean, I went ahead and played the Rams. I think this Bucks team is getting a little bit too much respect because of what happened last year, but it is a completely different dynamic with this team this year. And so it's just, I mean, I just don't agree with the market.
Yeah, the most attractive bets, I guess, when we're talking that Super Bowl market would be Rams then Titans to me,
just at
the numbers that you're talking.
I agree.
Like, the number makes sense on the Titans because of what you're going to have to go through, the Chiefs, Bills, then the Super Bowl. It does make sense.
Mathematically, none of these are way
off.
Right.
Yeah, I think the only one I would jump on that does seem a little off to me is the Bucks number, but just too short. There's no way I could bet that ever.
Yeah, no, that's just – and, I mean, listen, it's the reason we're not talking Niners, the reason we're not talking Bengals, I mean, because, again, it's just – it's good teams – probably, I mean, at least from a Cincinnati standpoint, at least probably a year away, figure out, you know, the quarterback position, what you're going to actually, if you're going to, you know, are you going to stick with Jimmy G, are you going to go to Lance, whatever, for the 49ers next year, maybe something like that. I think both of those teams will be in the mix next year for sure. I don't think it's quite there adding up this year for it to be able to make it through kind of that gauntlet there. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think either one of those are really in play here. But, you know, again, it's
I really think that the Niners were full strength, though. They would not be outlandish. Bengals, yes. Niners, I don't know, man. Like, I still think they're as good as everybody else at full strength. But they might not be at full strength.
Yeah, I think they're going to get taken advantage of this week in that secondary. I could be mistaken, but, I mean, it's... That was the thing, you know, it's just those deep passes, they don't cover very well downfield, and I think that Aaron Rodgers is really well poised to kind of take advantage of that with what they've got going on there. One of the things with Cincinnati is, we didn't mention in the top of the show, Trey Hendrickson was back at practice today, which bodes pretty well for him clearing out of the concussion protocol. So while they are going to be out down Ogunjobi, so we'll be down at least one defensive lineman, it looks like they will have back Trey Hendrickson.
All right. Australian Open thoughts next. NHL with Andy McNeil. We're also going to talk college basketball with Matty Cox from Three Man Weave and Drew Densick. Coming up, Beeson's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is never too early to prepare for the big game, and we want to make sure VSiN is a part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs, and then on championship weekend, and I'm not talking about championship weekend, I'm talking about the championship weekend, if you know what
the
I mean.
The big game weekend.
We'll have 56 hours of free video coverage on VSiN.com leading up to our 6th annual live big game betcast. That is hard to believe. That it is our 6th annual big game betcast. We will be here. It's the biggest game of the year, so make plans now to join the VSiN betting experts before, during, and after the action on VSiN.com. And I believe they're talking about us, gentlemen. I believe they are. We'll be here during the big game.
That's right.
Big game. Who'll be playing? We don't know. Should be fun.
Hopefully the Rams.
Hopefully the Rams.
Hopefully the Titans are playing the Rams.
Hopefully the Rams.
And I will.
Like, yeah, that would make this show the most happy.
Hopefully the Rams, because then I will have already gotten home the NFC one, and then it doesn't even matter what happens in the Super Bowl.
That's why I would have gotten AFC and NFC home, and I wouldn't even.
No, I don't even care at that point.
Titans would just be gravy on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, some of those bets might be nice for us to hit after the Chiefs last year.
Really?
How did we get through?
You went there.
How did we?
I mean, it's a good promo for that night. You know, if you want to watch three grown men in pain during the Super Bowl, tune back in. You might get what you got last year.
You know, if someone had said to us during that Super Bowl, imagine if they're like, okay, so guys, here's what's going to happen. Next football season, this is going to happen every night to you guys. Your guys are going to be in for every first half is going to suck for you. And then when you get home, everything's going to turn. It's going to be great, but you won't be on air for that. Did we get through that game with a pretty good attitude last year? I think we did a
professional job
as we were getting our clocks cleaned.
Professional, and we were I mean, the difference is we were on for the entirety, right?
Yeah.
Versus a half of bad football this year.
I was mixing metaphors and tribute and an homage to Dexter Manley, who once said about a Joe Montana game, he's going, I'm going to clean his clock, which I don't think makes any sense.
The best part was it was the hurt that kept on hurting, because as the game progressed, I just live bet it and then I live bet it again. So stubborn. It was the hurt that kept on hurting.
This can't continue.
Yeah, there's no way this can continue, right? And then it's boom. It's like, oh no, it certainly can, all the way to the bitter end.
I forgot that about you. So you were all about the Buccaneers, but then you turned on them in the Super Bowl. That's right.
I'd won the futures on the Bucs leading up to the Super Bowl, and then I flipped on them, and it was just that was neat.
So this is neat. We'll get to the tennis here momentarily, but this game last night, let me just reel off a couple of these. So Arizona had -3 yards in the first quarter, second worst by any team in a first quarter in the past 35 postseasons. By the end of their fourth possession, and we were talking about this while it was happening, the Cardinals had 4 punts on 4 3-and-out drives, -4 yards to show for it. At one point, OBJ had more passing yards than Kyler Murray. We were already in our cars when that happened. And the first time the Cardinals got a first down came with 6:45 left in the first half. They didn't have a play in Rams territory until there was 6:48 left in the third quarter. 0-for-9 on third down, just the eighth instance there was an 0-for-9 or worse in a playoff game during the Super Bowl era. 8 straight drives resulting in 0 first downs, a fumble, and a pick. The longest such streak to open a playoff game since the Oakland Raiders in 1980. Your Arizona Cardinals.
I don't think they'll do it, but it does make you wonder they certainly had a conversation today about Cliff.
Yeah, and they have every right to. After that game last night.
Well, it's 2 years in a row that Kyler was hurt last year. So, down the stretch, on air, I think, for at least 2 of the games down the stretch, we're going, this guy's not right. Like, there's something wrong with this guy, whatever. But, like, okay, Allen, Kyler, and all this. But still, this is 2 years in a row that they have just completely limped down the stretch. And it is just you just start to wonder. It's like, hey, man, is this like one of those deals where what people were wondering about McVay? It's like, okay, you've got some good ideas, but then you run out of good ideas and things just all start spiraling downhill or whatever. Like, you can't come up with new ideas for the second half of the season or whatever. Or people figure you out. But, I mean, it's 2 years in a row that they have just really, really, really sunk in the second half of the season.
We threw this up on a numbers game this morning. So Cardinals lost 5 of their last 6 this year. Last year they lost 5 of their last 7. 2019, they were kind of a bad football team, but they lost 7 of their last 9. By the way, at Texas Tech, 2018, he lost 5 of his last 5. 2017, 6 of his last 8. 2016, 6 of his last 8. 2015, 4 of his last 6. 2014, 4 of his last 6. 2013, 5 of his last 6. I'm detecting a pattern.
Yeah. I mean, Matt brought this up, right? The past couple, last night or last week, where it's like our team's figuring this guy out kind of at the end of years.
Thank you to the Action Network for that. I mean, it's like, come on, at some point, you are what you are, right? So
it's just you look at this team, and I understand you didn't have DeAndre Hopkins out there. It is a different team. It's a different offense, but it's not so much so that it is, you can't move the football at all. I mean,
I get it. He's great.
Yeah.
But your entire thing collapses.
You're right. Right. I mean, like, and if that's the case, then you've built this offense wrong. Right. Yes. I mean, like, if one guy's not out there, then nothing works, then you've built it wrong. So there's fault somewhere along the way.
Current odds now 1 round into the Australian Open, tennis's first major of the year. No surprise at the top that Daniil Medvedev at +150 still. And Sasha Zverev at 3-1. Rafa Nadal, after his great first round performances, at 5-1. Everybody, distant double digit numbers. I mean, that's what it should be.
Yeah. I mean, the Nadal at 5-1, I would never play.
Nope.
Like, it's just, it just not, I don't think this is suited for him to win this. But yeah, I mean, it's about where it is. I'm very interested, not in this tournament, just over the course of the next 12 to 18 months.
I know what you're going to say. Can I guess?
What?
Carlos Alcaraz?
Well, Yannick Sinner. I'm curious as to, like, are they, because anyone that's ever followed tennis knows, like, so you always get these guys where it's like, man, if they can just take that next step, and then they never do. And it's like, they're just always, they just stay in that middling stage forever.
Because these guys that take the next step to are otherworldly.
Yeah. And it's like, can these guys take the next step? And I wonder if any of these guys are actually going to take that next step, or is it always going to be kind of like, you know, you're a really awesome tier two player, you know?
Like, think about it. Sasha Zverev, I think we would agree, has taken finally, after all these years, the next step. He still hasn't won a major.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, but to me, it's Medvedev versus Zverev. We've talked about that. I don't think there's a long shot. Women's side, Ash Barty, who just came off a win in Adelaide. She's at plus 225. There is the looming specter of a fourth-round match against Naomi Osaka, who has won this tournament twice.
That number's gone up, right? Hasn't this risen a bit? Wasn't she like in the 100s earlier? Like high 100s? Like plus 180?
Who?
Barty.
Oh, maybe. I don't think so. I think she was always $2.
Okay.
But, you know, if you think Naomi's going to show up, right, that would be interesting.
Oscar Ote? What's his name?
Yeah.
Ote?
Yeah.
He's got a break point.
There you go. Thank you. Oh, did you bet him with me?
Yeah, bet him.
Oh, there you go. I was wondering, like, wow, thanks for the update.
We're up 4-2 in the first.
Oh, there you go. Let's go, baby.
Ote, 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 Ote. Even though he's German.
Yeah, that's right.
And you've heard us say this like 100 times on the show, but we'll continue because we get new listeners every single day. It is always much more open on the women's side than it is on the men's side. So when we sit here and say, like, yeah, we just can't really ever say put in a ticket on any of these other guys. It's just
it's tennis.
Yeah. It's just like there is such a difference in the very top of the men's side than it is on the women's side. I mean, we've already seen a couple of pretty big upsets.
Yeah, this is the first time in recent memory where you sort of put Ash Barty on a level and everybody else is kind of like, well, if Naomi plays. But I will say this, again, I do have the futures on Zverev. I did make one on Medvedev. Those are the only futures on the men's side. On the ladies' side, Iga Swiatek is the future that I have at 16-1. Made it before the tournament, and that was a good bet, as it turns out, because Iga got on the other side of the draw, on the other half of the draw, as Ash Barty. Now, can she beat Barty on a big stage? The two practice together. The two are friends. We'll see if it gets to that. I'd love to see it. But that to me, was the only other sort of play on the board. Nothing else, really. I mean, look, there's a lot of great players here. Bedosa's great. Kontaveit had an amazing season at the end of last year. Barbora Krejcikova was great last year. Maddie Keys might be making a comeback. Who knows? But not enough for me to pull a bet, you know, trigger on a bet. Not enough. So that's tennis. While you guys were watching Russell Westbrook's, you know, slam, all I was doing was watching the slam in Australia.
I'm obsessed. I had all the TVs gone.
How many TVs you got?
Well, I moved one back upstairs, so I've only got four down now, right now.
Did you see LeBron's? Did you see LeBron set up on Instagram? You see what he had going?
Yeah, like the full video wall.
It's like a sports bar in there.
I didn't see it.
With his four Larry O'Brien trophies right underneath it.
Oh, that
replicas, I'm guessing.
I'm sure that was just random. They happened to be there. Right?
Perfectly spaced.
Yeah, I always keep my most important possessions right below my TV.
Oh, man. You don't want to tell the knife story, though? Can you just tell the place, but just the concept?
There's a steakhouse here in town where you can, if you go in the special room, you can pick the knife that you want to eat your steak with.
Oh, great. And then
there's just a bunch of
and
different.
And if you like the knife, you can buy it.
Yeah, there's just a whole wall.
So the dude at the table next to you could be cutting his filet with a cleaver.
Like a sword.
That's phenomenal.
Excuse me, sir. What'd you get? No, not your food. What's the knife? What's the knife you got? Okay, I'm gonna get that.
I love that concept. There you go. Bets, what was that? What was that? There we go. There's that music. Bets and restaurant themes here on the show. We'll come back. How about some hockey, Matt? I know you've been begging for it. Let's talk some hockey with Andy McNeil.
On us too.
Oh, yeah. We get to the bottom of how he dared appear on the Danny Burke Power Hour earlier today. We'll get to that with Andy McNeil next on VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime Action, live from the South Point, it's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin. Let's talk some hockey. Let's bring him in from Edmonton, Alberta. It's our hockey analytics expert at Digital Gambler. It's Andy McNeil. How you doing, Andy?
I'd be doing a lot better if your Capitals could get back in this game here. Well, looks like they've cut the lead in half. It was 2-0 for Winnipeg.
Yes.
But good old Alexander Ovechkin with his 27th of the season.
So I just wanted to ask you this. That's his 757th career goal. You're going down, Wayne Gretzky. You're going down. But let me just ask you this. 757 goals, 756 of them, by my rough count, from that one spot that he just put that biscuit in the basket on, which is, from our perspective, to the left of the goal, where he just, no one checks him there. Like, how is he always open in that spot?
They do. I mean, he fights for it, man. He doesn't, you know, it doesn't come easy. Like, he has to work for that, because obviously he gets, he usually has a man stuck on him, and sometimes he's getting double teamed and they take that option away altogether. But, you know, early on in his career, he really wasn't that type of player. He was a totally different player. He was a lot more off the rush. And I mean, everybody remembers that amazing goal that he scored on his back in his rookie season or his sophomore season. But, you know, he's had to evolve and change the type of player that he is. And he's found his spot there in the top of the circle.
So he's 9 goals shy of tying Jaromir Jagr for 3rd all time. Wayne Gretzky, number 1. Gordie Howe, number 2.
How many more games did Jagr play, I wonder?
Oh, yeah. That's a great question. Jagr played, about 50 more games at this point. No. Incorrect. 10
no,
more
way
games.
More. Wait.
No. Only 10 more games. Jagr
really?
Only played, yeah. No. Am I looking? Excuse me. I'm completely wrong. He played 500 more hockey games. I was looking at the wrong column. Yeah. 500 more hockey games. You're right. So let's bring Matt and Kelly in here for this. So we did something Friday night, and we want to know how much you scoff at us for doing this. The game was the Avalanche and the Coyotes, and I texted you, and I said, wait a minute, Andy, the Avalanche are -650 favorites, and the Coyotes were, what did you get on the game?
I got +520.
Okay, so Matt got +520 on the Coyotes. By the way, you shot back, I don't have -650, but I have -575, which at those prices, kind of negligible, right?
Yeah.
And so then me and Kelly, we thought we'd get cute, right? We play the first period because, you know, it's that much shorter, 20 minutes as opposed to 60. We figured, anyway, Kelly and I lost 2-1. But then Matt, so the Coyotes went up 3-2 at one point. Matt didn't even see that. He only saw it was 3-3. And he loses in a shootout. And so I guess the collective question is just this. I know what your number said, and I know that there wasn't really any value on it. But aren't these still two professional hockey teams? Like, we were wondering openly, we're like, are they not allowed to play with sticks, the Coyotes? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a pretty bad team, but they also had most of their blue line was made up of American Hockey League players, and
shouldn't we bet that every time?
Why are you being country?
Goaltending. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't anywhere close to it, but I'm not going to argue that you shouldn't take the dog in that situation. If you're as random as this sport is, I like to think that I've got it all figured out. But you know, when you're offered a bunch of games and one of them is paying you +520, yeah, you might as well take a little shot at that one for sure.
I almost won it. I didn't, but I almost did.
You sure did.
And it felt
then they
really
lost 5-0 the next night because they played the Avalanche back to back. So
if you had won that game. If you had won that game, would that have been the biggest dog you've ever hit on anything ever in sports betting?
Maybe so.
On a random
in
Friday
a single
night
game.
Lark.
Yeah.
A pre-game
maybe so.
Bet for sure.
Yeah.
Because you haven't hit an MMA or UFC
no,
fighter.
Not like a five something. I mean,
the girl who
you
beat
probably
know,
hit
you're
a
like,
live
you,
bet at
you,
that price.
You do like, yeah. I mean, like every now and then. Yeah. But nothing where it was like I was, who'd it was you, more like I was just messing around.
Because
right?
you didn't fade Amanda Nunez. That would have been higher than that.
Right. So sorry. All right, Andy, we do have some puck drops still to come tonight. We've got the Canucks and the Predators, Canadiens and Stars, Panthers, Flames, Lightning, Kings. Any thoughts on any of the ones still to come tonight?
Well, it's moved quite a bit, and you could have got a really good price earlier, but the Calgary Flames, they're hosting the almighty Florida Panthers tonight, and it seems like nobody wanted to touch Calgary here. I took some +130 earlier today, moved to +135, then to +140. When I had got in at +130, I had kind of assumed that was about as high as it would go, and therefore I got involved. But I thought this game should be priced closer to Florida -120 roughly, and that was when Sergei Bobrovsky was in goal. Now I've got it around -110 in favor of the Panthers, and the Flames are still coming in at +125. So I added to my position. I doubled up on what I already had at +130. I added some more +135. But yeah, I still like the Flames at +125. They, you know, if you look at metrics like Corsi and expected goals, or sorry, shot attempts and expected goals, it's dead even. The Flames have, you know, really kept pace with teams like the Florida Panthers and some of the other elite teams in the league. Obviously, though, when you look at the head-to-head matchups that the Flames have had against teams like the Panthers and the Islanders, or not the Islanders, sorry, the Lightning and the Hurricanes, they haven't fared too well. But they're a good hockey team, and I don't think they should be catching this big of a price at home here. And both teams are rested. Both teams are healthy. The Flames have the better starting goaltender, Spencer Knight's in goal for the Panthers, and Calgary at +125 is a good bet.
And I see the return of the propagator has happened here. You got props.
Yeah. I've been on and off with the propagator. It's just things are changing so fast, you know, and that, I guess that's another thing that we could talk about here. The NHL announced today that following the All-Star break or the All-Star weekend, they will no longer be testing asymptomatic players. So, you know, I'm sure some people have strong feelings. Actually, I know some people have very strong feelings about that. But from the perspective of the sports bettor, that, you know, should in theory make things a little bit easier going forward, as far as, you know, pricing these games with a little more confidence on a day-to-day basis and not being worried about a surprise. But yeah, I do have some player props tonight with and it involves the Los Angeles Kings, who are hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning. Obviously, the Lightning are big favorites here, -210. They're probably going to own the puck tonight with Nikita Kucherov and Braden Point back in the mix. Kings have been hot, but I like them to cool off here tonight in, you know, in some ways. And I'm betting Victor Arvidsson not to get a point at -105, Alex Iafallo not to get a point at -110, and Anze Kopitar at +135 not to get a point. And those are all available at DraftKings. The Kings, I mean, they should score less than 3 goals in this game based on the line and the total. It's a relatively low total, shaded to the over at 5.5. But, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning are very good defensively. And if they've got the puck, the Kings aren't going to have a lot of opportunities to score tonight. So I like those three players not to get points.
Andy, we walked into the studio and we looked up at the screen, and then we saw you that you were on a different program than ours. And I'm just wondering if you could explain yourself as to why you were cheating. I told you, I poured my heart out to you that you're my favorite Canadian, and here you are cheating on me right in front of my face. What's going on here?
Well, you know, when the NHL Network calls and wants you to talk about hockey, you talk about hockey, right? And so that's what I've been doing.
Andy, we appreciate it, man. So the Flames, still playable, and then the three props again, Iafallo, Arvidsson, and Kopitar, under the sort of correlated under plays.
Yeah.
All unders on points for all of those at different prices. Thank you, man. Great seeing you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Andy
thanks.
McNeil, everybody on the show. By the way, you remember that time I was like, hey, Matt, you want to go grab a bite to eat? And you're like, no, Gil, I'm crunching Corsi numbers. I can't go out.
I'm just always on the Corsi machine.
Never, always, can't get him out. He's always crunching the numbers.
He's always at home crunching those numbers.
I was like, just a bite. He's like, no, sorry.
Corsi numbers.
Looking at expected goals and all that kind of
Corsi.
Thing.
Corsi.com.
So Ote wins the first set, by the way, Kelly, but then immediately gets broken in the second
set. Yeah.
So there's that.
Kelly's like, Gil's like, yeah, and I only care because I actually bet this one.
Right.
So, like, yes. You know, I bet.
I thought
one.
He was being so kind. He's like, oh, well, thanks for tracking my bet there, Ken.
I was telling you.
Yeah,
he's
like, no. It's strictly because I tailed you.
Yeah.
On that thing.
So there's that.
There is that.
All right, coming up after the break, you think just because it's divisional round that we've stopped doing Teaser Tuesday.
No.
Kelly Bidlin is doing a Teaser Tuesday, and he's force-feeding us totals. Is that what you've done here to keep this interesting?
I wouldn't say force-feed. I've included them.
Okay.
In case anyone's interested, okay?
Okay, we'll throw those in there. Is there a teaser to be had coming up? And we'll talk to Drew Densick about, we'll talk about Australian Open, also NFL with him. And a little later, or actually a little earlier, right after Teaser Tuesday, we'll talk to Matty Cox because we got some college basketball games, including Duke against the fighting Florida State, fighting Kelly Bidlins tonight. You excited for that, Kelly? Your alma mater.
Yeah, let's go.
He doesn't sound very excited.
Nah. No. He didn't know it happened.
It's on the other side. It's VSiN's Primetime Action live from the majestic South Point. Look at that.